Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Freedom Filled Life podcast. I'm your host, Shay Brown, co-founder of the Bucket List Bombshells, where we serve women who are building, growing, and scaling a service-based online business. And today I have another amazing female entrepreneur sitting down with me, and her name is Melissa. She is a sought-after digital marketer, ad strategist, founder of Defined Media Co., and the fractional CMO of the Darren Olean Show. So we're going to dive into it today with Melissa and talk about all things marketing, ads, organic, and creator or slash influencer related.
Have you always dreamed of launching an online business? Well, you're in just the right place because we recently launched a brand new program called Bucket List Bombshells Launch Camp. This is an 8-week live group program for 30 women who are ready to launch an online service-based business in 2024. If you're ready to be your own boss, do work you're passionate about, have that work-life balance you're craving, and build your own legacy, then you're ready to apply to grab one of the 30 spots in Bucket List Bombshells Launch Camp. You can find all the program details and how to apply at bucketlistbombshells.com/launchcamp, or check the show notes for the link. We can't wait to help you finally hit launch on your business in 2024. All right, let's get back to today's episode.
Welcome to the podcast, Melissa. I'm so excited that you're sitting down with me today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So before we dive into like your full story and our podcast topic, can you share a little bit more about the business that you own and the services or products that you offer?
Yeah. So I own a boutique digital marketing agency, and we specialize in paid advertising, social media management, email marketing, and marketing consulting in general. We love to work primarily in the health and wellness industry, also e-commerce, CPG, and occasionally we'll dive into like other industries, but I would say wellness is definitely our core.
Yes, such a big health and wellness advocate. And I just love working with those type of brands. That's my first business. I worked with online coaches in the health and wellness space. I just think it's so fun to work with clients that we believe in their missions and people who are putting out amazing products and services to the world. So that's so cool. So I'm curious, how long ago did you get started and what were you doing before you started your own business?
Yeah. So I launched this business probably 3 years ago now. And prior to that, I did work for in-house marketing teams. And I also worked freelance alongside my full-time job. So I've been working in the industry for about 7 years now. Nice. I've changed what I like to do over time, which is why I collectively offered all of these services, because these are all different job titles that I've had over the last couple of years. I worked at in-house fitness company on their team. I also worked at an e-commerce rug company in-house for paid advertising. And then I was running social media freelance company. It was just me outside of my full-time job. And that kind of progressed into me then leaving my full-time job and starting my own business. And it's grown over time in the last 3 years.
I love that. It's always fun hearing the transition journey. And I think everybody has such a unique journey. I also started out in freelancing social media as well, but I quit my job and just moved to Mexico and tried to live as simply as possibly. And now I'm like loving hearing these, you know, easier transitions between holding down your full-time job. It is still possible to freelance and start your business on the side and grow it on the side. And I love that. Love hearing stories about other women who have done it that way. So thank you for sharing. And I know that you work in the influencer slash creator space. You had mentioned e-commerce brands, and you've achieved some really amazing results for your clients, like over 500K in sponsorship revenues and generating over 30% in revenue for e-commerce clients, and really helping people gain bigger followings on social media platforms like TikTok. I'm curious, what called you to work in this space? Was it based on your experience or like something that you just felt, I really want to be in this space with these type of people and in the marketing world?
Yeah. So I think what sparked me so I work with influencers, like occasionally, like half the amount of influencers I work with, because it's very personal to work with personal brands one-on-one. Right. There's a lot more involvement in that. So I just work with very specific people on a yearly basis. And what sparked that, which kind of is what sparked my interest in marketing in general, because I didn't go to school for marketing. I actually went and wanted to be a pediatric nurse and then completely changed, which I think when I tell that, people are like immediately shocked. But I had interned for a local influencer in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I lived at the time. And influencers were up and coming, like it was the new thing. And she was a local influencer who, in my eyes, seemed like she had so much fun doing what she loved. And she was looking for an intern. I was still at school at the time. And I'd followed her while I was in college on Instagram. And I was just like, of course, I want to intern with her. So I did. And that sparked my interest in working with personal brands. Mm-hmm. So when I was freelancing after graduating college, I had worked with a couple of local influencers, and then that sparked my interest in social media marketing and moving away from wanting to work in healthcare. And now I still love having those personal relationships with, I don't even like saying influencers anymore. I call them personal brands because they're so much more involved than just social media. But I love the connection I have with them. I love seeing other people grow. That's why I love working in marketing. I love the data behind it. I love the connections behind it. I love helping them curate content. And that's really why I've had this interest in influencer marketing.
It's so fun when we find a niche and a type of client that we really enjoy working with. And I think that sometimes people transitioning out of 9 to 5, they feel like, am I gonna still like the type of people? Do I have to take whoever comes in the door? And I think that's the beauty of this industry is work with a bunch of people in the beginning, sure, but then you're gonna find your type of client, your people, someone that you feel really called to serve. And I think that's why entrepreneurship is such an enjoyable route, because it's really all about you getting to choose who you work with versus being told who to work with. So I love that you found that niche for yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think over time, because I didn't really start in wellness when I first started this business, I was just taking on whoever I could. Yeah. And then over time, there was an interest in the education, but behind wellness. So working with functional medicine doctors, working with influencers in the fitness space, and just being educated by them has sparked a lot of interest for me to want to continue that and help them share that message. And so I think that's why I've stuck to the wellness industry, just because it's something that I'm interested in, and the people that I'm working with, I feel very inspired by them.
And something you had mentioned, you said you're moving away from calling people influencers and calling them more, I think you said personal brands, or recently I've even heard the term influencers now transitioning to the term creator. And as someone who's kind of in this space, in this world, I'm super curious because I just heard about this recently. You and I started, what, 10, 7 years ago, and it was influencer was kind of this new thing, as you had mentioned. And over time, I feel like it can get a really, you know, bad rap as well. And someone was called an influencer or different things like this. So I am curious, based on you being in the industry, like, what's your perspective on why or when or how this term is now moving from influencer to creator, or even what you had mentioned before, personal brand?
Yeah, so I think creator is really interesting because I would categorize that as someone who is fully working to create content for social media versus the personal brands and people that I'm working with. So social media is a part of what they do, but they might have another business that they're working on, and I'm helping them put together their marketing for their personal brand, but they have sponsors alongside of that. They have a podcast and that we're creating content for, and they have other things like that are involved within their personal brand besides solely creating content.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because definitely Cass and I have always been what probably is considered a personal brand. You know, it's her and I, we're sharing our knowledge, we're sharing our insights, our perspective. We do that in different forms of content, sometimes social media, on our podcast, in our courses. And we've never considered ourselves influencers. I think primarily my perspective influencing, so to speak, was always promoting someone, maybe someone else's product, usually physical products. You know, you've got your beauty influencers. I've been influenced to buy beauty products. And so I think it's really interesting to see that sort of definition. And then creator, like you're right. Now there's a whole world of just creating content for social media. And sometimes I follow these awesome content creators, whether they're like creating comedic comedy or health and wellness information. And I noticed, I'm like, wow, they're not really influencing me to try to buy something, especially the comedic ones that sort of, I think came out of TikTok. And I find it really interesting, but they must be getting sponsored by someone, or maybe there's ads and they're just so subtle I don't notice.
it's really interesting because I don't work with a lot of creators like on TikTok or anything like that, but I did come across a content creator team that uses Adobe and they make these amazing like beautiful photographs, and then the husband photographs and the wife adds her own unique design to it. I started researching them and they're being sponsored by Adobe to create content. And so there's so many unique ways that people are getting paid now for the things that they love to do, because that is a totally different type of creator than, you know, what we're used to seeing or like other people on TikTok and social media. So I think I have to categorize it as people that are creating content and being sponsored or being paid for creating content on social media, essentially.
Thank you for that perspective. I think it's really cool. I consume content on social media and I'm like, yeah, there is kind of this difference now of different types of people that are on here, whether it's personal brands, e-commerce businesses, now influencers. I think more in that space where it's very clear they're promoting something and getting paid for that. And then these more subtle ones where they're just creating great content, like a lot of home reno ones. And then you're right, they're getting sponsored by the brands that they're technically showing. And I think it's such a more subtle way than influencing. Like it never feels in my face. And so it's really interesting, these kind of different types of ways people are making money online.
Yeah, I think the influencer term has completely evolved and opened up into different avenues for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So getting into today's topic, which is pretty much what we were just talking about, I really wanted to bring you on to share with our listeners more about how they can decide which marketing approach is right for them when it comes to maybe paid ads or social media or email marketing. So my first question to you, and I'd love to know, is how does someone really go about making that decision when they're in the early or growth stages of their business? What is your recommendation for approaching your marketing strategy?
Yeah, so this is definitely a conversation I have a lot because I work with a lot of startup companies or people that are in the beginning phases of their business. And I would definitely say brand awareness is key, or what I've learned over the last couple of years is brand awareness is key. So what I mean by that is that you're establishing your brand name through PR, through organic marketing, just getting your name out there and getting people familiar with your brand is essential. And then number two, I would say paid media definitely helps, as long as you have all of your other marketing pieces in place, because if you don't have a publicist, if your website isn't perfectly optimized, then the paid media it won't really help that, because you are essentially doing a lot of work if you're relying on paid media to sell your products for you without people knowing or getting a sense of what your brand is. You want to build that like, know, and trust factor with your audience before you're pushing a product or service or offer on them.
Yeah, I love that perspective. And I think that we started out back in the day, wild, wild west, on the paid ads. We went full on to the paid ads. And, you know, there became a point where it was a main avenue that was bringing in, it was like all of our eggs in that basket, right? And then we realized many of the other amazing women that also came up around the same time as us had started in organic, and then they switched to doing paid ads. So the cost to actually the ad cost back then, I will say, were quite lower than they are now. So it served us well to really get that steam ahead. But then our PR, when we landed those Forbes, that CNBC, those other interviews that we did, that is really what skyrocketed, got that like, no trust factor. I can't stress enough our first PR article, which was Forbes. And I don't even think it has to be as, you know, on that level of Forbes, just the fact that it was an article published written by someone else. It explained us our story, how we got started. The like, no trust factor that we got from PR was huge. So I'd say we built our business off PR, and then we utilized paid ads. But at some point we did have to re-strategize an organic strategy. And like you had said, your website optimization, getting that SEO, getting that traffic in the beginning, if I could go back in time, I would have done organic PR and then ads, which I think is pretty much what you just said. I could say, yes, I would go back and change my strategy.
I 100% agree with that. And I have that conversation time and time again, where I've done marketing audits for different brands, and I see that 80 to 90% of their revenue is coming from paid media. What if you know, Facebook is gone tomorrow? Like, you're relying on that to do the work for your business. And instead, I like to reevaluate that for them and say, okay, this is great. I'm glad ads are working for you, but they're working too much for you. Like, we need to scale it back and maybe pick up email marketing, re-strategize that, because email is never going to go away. And that's something that I like to work with people on hand in hand, like paid ads and email marketing, because oftentimes they're not utilizing that to their advantage ever. So I think paid media works really well for people, but sometimes I get nervous as a marketer for people to just rely on that one service, which is why we offer so many different things to help give you that lift when you need it for paid media.
Yeah, I would definitely, email marketing has been gold for us from the beginning. Something that we absolutely are always like, do email marketing. From personal experience, having our eggs in all in one basket just did not make sense. At a certain stage, you're relying too much on an algorithm that is in a platform that is completely out of your control. And what we really started doing was the diversification of the different streams. Like you're saying, having email marketing, having Pinterest sending blog post traffic, having good SEO, having social media, having paid ads, it's having all these little avenues was such a game changer for us. I would go back in time and I would do organic first. So that's why I'm such a big advocate. I'm like, do organic first. I know that it's can be a lot of work to get that snowball going. And that's what I've been told by a lot of my people in the industry who started just organic. They were like, you know what? It takes time. But then once that's that kind of snowball kind of tipping point, there's a tipping point, and then it's like, boom, it's working so well. And it's not reliant on paying for traffic. You just have to have consistency of producing really great content. So actually, that kind of gets into my question, which we sort of already answered, but I do want to get a little bit more into it, because it's such a question that comes up for me. It's like paid versus organic media content. I get asked by my students constantly, which one is better? Which one should I start with first? So I know we talked about starting with organic first, but at maybe what stage or kind of what indicators do you look for to say, okay, where our organic is doing really well, let's look at paid ads. Let's start with paid ads. And which channels do you like when it comes to paid ads?
Yeah. So I think it really just depends on what your objectives are, and doing some analysis. I'm very data driven. So I like to look at the data and say, okay, we have reached our goals that we set for organic social media, email marketing, our revenue goals, whatever it is. Now it's time to take your business to the next level and really get a jump start on paid media. And when people have never invested in paid advertising before, I like to say, okay, we're going to give this 3-month test, and this is going to be our budget for that test. We're going to try to hit these goals and then reevaluate, take a look at the data, see if we need to invest a little bit more, have a little bit more testing time, really figure out what we're doing in order to move on to the next. In terms of the platforms I like the best, I don't know if I have a platform that I like the best. It really just depends on the industry that I'm working with. And if it's a business that's never run paid ads before, I like to start them off evenly across the board with different channels, and then that's the test and say, okay, clearly you're selling this item and people are searching for it in Google and you're converting better on Google. Right. So let's use that to drive conversions. And then maybe we're using Facebook, Instagram, or programmatic ads to drive top of funnel like awareness. And so sometimes it'll work hand in hand like that. And then for other brands, like Facebook might convert really well for them because it's a very visual platform. And so we're pushing out visual ads and people are seeing them and they're converting really well. So it just really depends on what you're offering.
Yeah, seems like a very data-driven approach. And I think that's really great. And I'm curious about when it comes to the platform that's, say, the easiest to start with, that's kind of like beginner friendly. Is there, I know data, like we're testing all of them. I love that. So do you recommend, okay, test the channels regardless of your stage in business? Or is there one that you have found that's a little bit more beginner friendly if someone doesn't have a budget to hire someone, like maybe a lower learning curve?
Yeah, I mean, I always like to say, if you have a low budget, try to test evenly between two channels. Facebook is definitely easier for people to learn. I've heard it from so many different people where it's like, I don't understand this because of the data. I don't understand the KPIs. I would definitely say Facebook is easier to learn, but you could be missing, there could be missing opportunities from other platforms, which is why I like to say test both for at least a month.
Yeah.
Have a budget set aside for that and then scale based on what's working for you.
Yeah, love that. When it comes to data-driven testing or even using data to make decisions, are you using an aggregate platform that gives you like an all-encompassing view of everything? Or is it really going into each of the different platforms and using the data in there or even based off of the organic first before we get into paid? I'm just curious if you have a tool that you like to use. I think is my roundabout question of asking, is there a tool where all my data is going to show up in one place? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. So I create custom dashboards via Looker Studio. And so I use their like extensions pay for them that way. So I recently switched from using Supermetrics to using Power My Analytics. But I also have used for clients that are in a bigger scale, and we really want to track everything to a super T, including things that I might not be working on, but they have email marketing or influencer marketing or things that they want to track. I'll use like Wicked Reports, or a lot of times clients that I work with already have reporting established. So I can sync up with them to create something custom. But for all of my clients, I usually create a custom report through Looker Studio.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, I was really curious about that. So kind of switching back to the different, what we were talking about before, the different avenues of marketing, because that's what this conversation is all about. I feel like, you know, we've touched on organic and paid, what we should do there, but circling back to our previous conversation about influencing or becoming a creator or a personal brand. If some of our listeners, I know that there's women in our community that want to pursue the influencer route and probably what we defined as the creator route, how would they go about marketing right or securing their sponsorships? What does this industry look like in terms of breaking into it?
I would say the biggest thing or the biggest call I have is commitment. If you want something, you definitely need to stay committed to it. Oftentimes, nowadays, it's a little bit harder to get into the industry, which is why you have to stay committed for a certain period of time. I see creators posting multiple times a day. They're constantly sharing. They are authentic. I want to emphasize that. I think authenticity is huge now. Like nothing is really curated anymore. I think everything is about raw, authentic messaging. And that builds, again, that like, know, and trust factor with the audience that you're wanting to grow. I would also say, I like seeing people in specific, if they're in a specific niche. Like I follow people that are specific about fashion or gut health or podcast networks, things like that. If they're in a certain niche, that also really helps them build a closer audience that will then help them get specific with brands. Like the company I was just saying, or the people that I was just talking about, they own a photography business. They are very involved in content creation. So they're clearly going to work with brands like Adobe or Squarespace or Canon, things like that. And it's a lot easier to get brands when you have a certain niche to work with.
Yeah, That makes sense, just even based off of what I consume. Like it was kind of back in the day, someone can be talking about like multiple different things and you're following them. Now I notice my feed is much more niched. I see, well, even gut health, that's all she talks about. And I love that. Or I'm really into homesteading and homemaking. And there's like people that are basically like homemade everything from cleaning products to face products to whatever it is. And I'm like, I love that. That's all they talk about. I'm not hearing about anything else on that platform. I'm just going to them. I think because I'm a very information driven consumer, I'm like, just give me the deets. Give me the, you know, I don't really care about all the other things you're doing in life. Just give me the thing that I'm coming to you for information on. Mm-hmm. And I have found that as a consumer on that end of things, I love it when I'm following someone that is just so niche into what they're talking about. It just makes me so much more engaged with their content. And also that like, no trust factor. I'm like, they know what they're talking about because I'm seeing day in and day out, they talk about this one specific area and they're not a jack of all trades. That's really interesting that from you being in the industry and kind of on the other side of it from the marketing, that is, you know, important to break in. And I would absolutely agree with that.
I also would say too, like for a lot of the people that I work with, they use products that they're not even, that are not sponsoring them. And oftentimes those brands will reach out to them even if they're not being sponsored. And so I would say if there's a brand that you really love and you utilize their products regularly and you're promoting them organically, non-promotional, oftentimes they'll reach out to you. Or if you've used their product for a couple of months, I was just talking to a client about this. And I was telling her, well, you're using this, and this, and you've been using it for well over a year. You might as well just reach out to the brand to see if there's an opportunity there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's such a great point. Okay, so switching gears a little bit here, as we're talking about marketing and we're talking about being in that space online, I know, and everybody listening knows that I've been talking a lot about AI and really utilizing it and talking with other business owners on how they're integrating it. So in your opinion, I'm curious, how do you see AI changing the industry for digital marketing?
I personally use AI to automate a lot of my systems and to help me work faster and more efficiently. Mm-hmm. I definitely find discrepancies in AI. Like there are definitely tweaks that I need to make. Like if I'm asking them to write a blog post for me on a certain topic, they're using all of this language that doesn't seem very personal. So then I'll have to go back in there and tweak it. But I think a lot of business owners can use AI to help them build automations, just automate their workflow a little bit more and to help spark certain ideas, especially for me working in marketing. I work with so many different types of businesses that sometimes my creativity falls flat and I need something to spark inspiration for a blog post or inspiration for a caption or something like that. And that's really what I utilize AI for. I have one client who loves using AI to help him write podcast scripts and video scripts and things like that and make it easier for him to come up with topics for those things. Mm-hmm. But again, that needs to still be adjusted and it's not perfect, but it really helps you work faster. And that's really what I'm using it for. And a lot of my clients are using it for that as well.
I feel like that has definitely been one of the main consensus that I've had discussions with other people in the industry or even here on the podcast. And for me anyways, it really helps me just like get started. Sometimes I stare at a blank screen and you're like what you were saying, having a non-creative day, that can be frustrating as a creator, as someone who is needing and wanting to put out new content daily, especially with how much content I think does need to be produced to maintain that relationship now online. And it's sometimes you just don't feel creative, especially me. I'm more left brain. I'm more, you know, analytical. So luckily for me, Cass handles a lot of the creativity side of that and the writing. She's a fantastic writer. And I think that's what we noticed right away was AI just doesn't sound the same as us. And so, like you said, it can get you started. It can help you craft the outlines. It can do hooks. It can just give you ideas, almost like a little creative assistant. But I still think when it comes to authenticity, when it comes to your brand voice, and you as a human will always trump that. So always look at it, always edit it. Like we do, we never have it write anything and then just publish it as is, which I don't, most creators don't. You can tell, I can tell immediately now.
I like that you're saying that too, because I've been reading AI is like the talk right now on LinkedIn. And so I've been seeing a lot of that right now, and people talking about how they're worried about their jobs for AI. Yeah. And I just hired a copywriting team to rewrite my entire website because they do it in just such a unique way. And I've tried using AI and it's just not, it's not the same. It's not creative at all. It just kind of gets you going. And so I'm not nervous about that. And I feel like copywriters shouldn't be, because people are still want that unique voice that you're building for them that makes it sound really personal, where AI doesn't. And same thing for graphic design. It's not perfect. Like there are so many, there are millions of graphic designers, I'm sure, and everyone has a unique way of doing things. And I don't think AI is going to fully captivate the uniqueness.
Yeah, I completely agree. And as someone who, because I run the operations, I train team members, human team members, basically I learned, okay, ChatGPT or some of these other AIs, I learned how to write prompts to essentially train them like a team member, but I could not get them to a place that they sound like Cassie. They don't, they know, they don't sound as good as, cause she's very skilled in writing. So for, I would say to copywriters or anybody in the writing industry, you have a unique voice, you have a unique talent, you have a skill, because I tried and I feel like I gave it my best effort to try to train it. And I could not get it to the point to sound published. I wouldn't have felt comfortable publishing that content. Right. So I definitely don't think people should be afraid of it. I think you need to be an early adopter and bring it into what any type of service-based business that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Learn how, like you said, either use it for automation, use it to get through creative blocks, use it as an assistant, use it for research. It does so much research for me now, because usually I'm scouring the internet. What does ChatGPT do? It scours the internet. I think it's not fully up to date as like of 2023. I think it's only up to 2021 or 2020. I'm not sure. But in terms of researching stuff, it is so, so helpful. And I played these tests where I went and researched, or I also already had the answers in my head of what I thought the answer was, right? So I tested it to see. And I was like, oh, great. It came back with the answers that I had in my head, and or it came back with the same or better research than I had done myself. Mm-hmm. And so I love it in that way of researching or being a tool, an assistant, something that you can leverage and use, but it's not here to replace us as of right now. You know, if something changes in the future, fine, but be an early adopter and then you don't really have to worry about that change either. And you know, that's life, life changes. But I think as of right now, I always, always, and I've already said this on the podcast before, just encourage people to not be afraid of it, but I encourage people to be early adopters of it. Learn it, learn how to use it. There's so many different types out there, and then integrate it. And then you know how to command it to use it, utilize it, because it's not a human. It's not going to replace you.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, that's such a fun note to end on. And so I just have one final question, which I ask everybody on the podcast, and that is, how has starting your own business led to more freedom and fulfillment in your life?
Yeah. So working remotely, because starting my business prompted me to work remotely, I've been able to move to a city that I've always wanted to live in. I've been able to travel more, take a lot more time for myself, and really rearrange my schedule that meets my personal needs. And it's also helped me to build and make the best connections with clients and coworkers.
I love that. So fun. One of my favorite questions. So thank you so much for sharing with us and all of those insights and goodies in terms of getting into our marketing strategies, whether we're in the early or growth stages of business. There's so much right now, I think, to utilize in the marketing space. And that was a really fun conversation. So if anybody wants to connect with you and ask you more questions, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can connect with us on Instagram or TikTok. We just started using TikTok a couple of months. Define Media Co. is our Instagram and TikTok handle.
Amazing. I will link those in the show notes. And again, thank you so much for being here, Melissa. I really appreciated you coming on to the podcast.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone listening today. I will see you in another episode.